And we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? And I'm glad it's not snowing. It is a delight to be back with you. We've been praying for you, been praying for the Holes. We'll continue to do so. We pray for them every day. They're a very precious couple. And praying for you in this transition period. My wife and I have our time in prayer, and she's my very special prayer warrior. And this is a special month for us. We are celebrating 50 years of marriage together this June. You're wondering, how can such young people be 50 years in? We married in kindergarten, so I'd like to share some things with you I trust will continue to be the very focus of Maranatha Baptist Church. Some things that I see in a lot of New Testament churches faltering and fading in a day in which they ought to be continually the most important, preeminent focus for our New Testament churches. Have any of you ever struggled with dirty hands? I know there are some people that are what we call neat freaks. They're constantly washing their hands. My wife says, I'm getting close to that. And I always am washing my hands. Even if I feel something, I'm running to the faucet and rinsing them and getting them clean. When I was young, my dad was teaching my brother and I an awful lot of things how to do. And part of it was mechanical, how to work on gas engines. And we had an outboard engine that we would put to its ultimate task, racing up and down the lake. And my brother and I would see how much faster we could get it to go. And one sad day, we threw a rod. Anybody that knows anything about that, that's the connecting part of the piston. Went out the side of the block. And so we had to tear it all down, and Dad showed us how to rebuild an engine. And we got such grime and filth on our hands that you could not tell that they were actually hands. And he got some cleaner that we had seen on television. I don't know, many of you probably too young to realize this, but there's only one kind of soap to get these hands clean, mister, and it's lava soap. Yeah. And how many of you have ever heard of lava soap? And a lot of you are too young to know. Yeah. What lava soap is simply sand with soap in it. And it just it seemed to be as gritty and as grindy, but boy, it could clean off the most dirty of hands and restore them to some kind of semblance of cleanliness. Well, being as clumsy as I am, even with a magic marker, I can become dangerous. And my wife has almost taken away all permanent markers from my possession, because there are times when I am marking something and my hand gets in the way. And I have had permanent markers running down. I looked like a zebra one day when I got done with the work. And you wash it and it just would not come off. And so I am being restricted to Crayolas and washable markers. It just, some people, that's the way it, but our hands can get stained. And it's hard sometimes to get them clean. Any of you ever had struggles with dirty hands, grimy hands? If you turn with me in Ezekiel, we'll see something that kind of gives that kind of a feeling. And it's an attitude and a state that really all of us ought to be more aware of as we go day to day. And that's Ezekiel chapter 3. love the prophetical book of Ezekiel, love the things that are being shared here, but in this prophetical passage, we see some instruction being given to Ezekiel by God himself in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." God is taking the prophet Ezekiel, and he is establishing him. One of his job descriptions is to be a watchman. A watchman is one who watches, one who is alert, one who is attentive, one who is on guard. And so God selects Ezekiel, the prophet, and calls him and says, "I want you to be a watchman unto my people, the house of Israel. I want you to warn them from me." That being what he has established, he goes on to say this. In verse 18 he says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." There is a responsibility. When one is given to be a watchman, one is being required to exercise, to do that is upon the responsibilities of warning as a watchman. And here is a description of one who is very wicked, one who is very sinful, one who is in danger of losing their life. And God says, if you do not warn him, if you do not give him caution, if you do not speak to the dangers that are there, and you allow him to go into that danger and not change his way, he's going to die. But I'm going to require that upon your hands. The blood will be upon your hands. You know, there are many people today that I believe have blood-stained hands. Now, I'm talking about Christians, saved, marvelous brothers and sisters in Christ who have not done what they should do. But he goes on and he says this, "Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You see, the responsibility is to warn. As a watchman, we are to be warning. But as we warn, we can't keep some people from continuing on into the danger, into the destruction that's ahead. That being the case, Ezekiel, if he does warn the wicked from his wickedness and his going his wicked way, and they still continue, at least you've warned. And that will spare you because you have fulfilled your responsibility. I'd like to share some things with you I think will fulfill that in responsiveness to responsibility. That is a part of each of us. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Connor, that's Old Testament. There are some tremendous biblical principles that are in the Old Testament that are ratified and reinforced in the New Testament. And one of them is being a watchman. this church had many souls, and as souls, a part of this church, being born again, you are watchmen. You have responsibility. And I want to share some of those with you. We kind of read a portion of that, and I think it's good if we just simply understand what is there and what can be done as we are the watchmen. Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 28. Refresh ourselves to this great commission that God has given. He has gone to the cross. He has shed that blood. He has sacrificed that body, that life, unblemished, untarnished with sin. Tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. And then he goes to that cross, he's died, he's buried, and now he is gloriously resurrected. And now he is appearing, and we come to verse 18, and Jesus himself, this is our Savior speaking, and he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's no question. This, the Son of God, has all power. Having all power, there is that capability of dispensing whatever is necessary for the task that is at hand. This is our Savior, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity that is saying, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And as he declares that, then he gives that great commission, that command, go ye. Now, you may think that that's something that was done way back in the New Testament in early history, and it only appeared to those that were there. No, that go is talking to ye, and that ye includes you. How many of you have trusted in Christ as your Savior? Would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. In raising your hand, you have just now included yourself in that Y-E, that ye. That's plural. That's those that know Christ, those that are a part of the New Testament church, those that are planted here and a part of Maranatha Baptist Church. You are a part of that ye. And he says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the earth. And then as a good Baptist, the word amen comes. This is truth, so be it. God is telling us that we are to go. We can get comfortable. We can get content, but we oughtn't get complacent, because it is a dangerous thing when God tells us to go and we're not going. I always enjoy the fact when I come to Maranatha, you walk into the lobby and there's that desk with all of those packets there for you to be able to help yourself and take them and go ye unto the world. You see, it isn't up to missionaries. It's up to the local New Testament church. And you are a part of that going and that teaching and that reaching out and sharing the gospel that they might be saved. An exciting part of this aspect is that we are reaching. Ye shall understand the outreach that is being exercised, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We're not doing this alone. You're not just out solo. God is with us. And all his power is there. By the way, some think maybe it misses something. But if you turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see that this is another part of that aspect. It's not just the responding to the responsibility. But secondly, there is the receiving. And it really sets aside, diminishes or even dissolves any kind of an excuse that we can create. Because here he says in Acts 1:8, but ye, oh, there's that ye again. How many of you are part of that ye? Would you raise your hand again? Yep, it's you. And ye, us. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. What's another name for witnesses? Watching, watchmen, sharing, cautioning, being those that would be ministering unto souls that are in need of the gospel of Christ. And so you shall be witnesses. Notice where he says you are to be witnesses. He says, right here in Jerusalem. Folks, that means right here in Sinking Springs and the Reading area. You are to be witnesses. There is an outreach to be done. There, you know, you're a healthy group. But it could be even more so if we see others being brought in as they have accepted Christ or are introduced to the gospel. And so he is saying, I want you to understand you are to have that power. And once you have that power in the Holy Spirit, all of you, then you are to become witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, that would be Pennsylvania, and even Samaria. Now, I think I shared with you last time I was here, Samaria is not one of Jews' favorite places to go. They detested Samarians. It's ironic that God uses a Samarian to teach compassion and love. But to the Jew, that was the last place that God would ever want them to go, and yet it's there. I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to go into Judea. And yes, I even want you to go into Samaria. Now, I love Pennsylvania. God called me 20 years ago to become the state rep for the Pennsylvania Association of Regular Baptists. And I've traveled all. This is a very large state, a beautiful state. I, quite frankly, don't understand why anybody would ever want to leave Pennsylvania. But there are times when I have ventured out of the borders. Risky as it sounds, I have gone into Ohio and I've had 2 car accidents on the turnpike there, and I have just developed a great fear of traveling through Ohio. Now, on Interstate 80, which is the beltway of America, it connects the east to the west. I avoid Ohio like the plague. When I have to go to Michigan, we have relatives there, I would rather go through Canada and New York. And I used to do that until we declared war on the terrorists, and I don't have enough money to stay in Canada if the border was actually shut down. So my only other option was Ohio, and I can't go that way. So now I go to Arkansas and then up and then over and bypassing. It's like it's a Samaria of sorts. A Samaria It's sort of an identity. So you have your sections. You have your areas. You have those places you'd rather not go. He's saying you go to those places you'd not rather go. And you share the gospel. And you present to them this marvelous saving news that trusting in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, has an awesome reality and the gift of eternal life. So he says, become witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I can't go to the uttermost parts, but some have rendered themselves available. Some have surrendered themselves, and the Holy Spirit has used them as God has called them. And we have missionaries in so many places now striving to share the Word of God, the gospel, the great news that Jesus saves. And so that aspect of the Great Commission is being fulfilled by some who are obedient to that call. But the fact is that we're a part of that Great Commission, as well as those that he calls to be missionaries afar and across the sea. So here we are. We have the power. You see, there is that responsibility. We've seen that. Responding to that responsibility, we receive the Holy Spirit, and then we have what I call the third aspect, and that's the request, or the requiring of each of us. And I think this is extremely important. The requirements are given to us, and there's a parallel between what is shared in Acts and in Matthew and in Ezekiel. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Watch the terminology, watch the phraseology, watch the teaching and the principle that is there in Acts chapter 20, and I draw your attention to verse 31. We who are part of this New Testament church, Maranatha Baptist, watch what he says. This is something that ought to be a part of our lives, our focus, even in the transition period that you're in now. He says, therefore, watch. There's that word, watch. This is Paul that is saying, now understand, I want you to be watchmen. Watch women, have to be politically correct. Watch people. You have to be those that are watching, being alert to the needs, being aware of the dangers. And this is New Testament now, and he's using that term, watch. And he says here, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn. He was a watchman, and he was warning people. In fact, he was doing it consistently through his 3 years that he was there in that location. And he says, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Beloved, I think in the age in which we live, there is a tendency for many of us to become very comfortable. And with that comfortableness, there becomes an expectation of others to do what needs to be done, not me. Not me. But these scriptures rule that out. They totally cancel that kind of mindset. Because really, it is involving me. It is involving you. And we are, like Paul, to watch and to be warning. He is testifying to the fact that he did it consistently day and night. He was warning everyone. Puts us to shame. I get convicted every time I come to that passage. Warning everyone night and day. And then he says, by with tears. He was so compassionate. He was so overwhelmed with a burden to share the danger of hell and damnation that he was driven to weep as he went forth with such sincerity, with such intensity, that he was weeping as he went forth bearing precious seed. He watched and he warned and he wept for souls. I don't see any excuse. I don't see any exemption. We are involved in that as a New Testament believer, just as Paul was involved. And we ought to be following the same example. The blood-stained hands that Ezekiel was instructed could happen to him, can happen to us. And I really wonder. I am sure that as Paul was there consistently for the space of 3 years, warning, watching, and sharing as he did day and night with tears. I am sure that a part of that was the idea of what is said in Romans so very clearly in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a part of the warning as we're watching. You are a sinner. All have sinned. There's no exemption. There's no one that is of a higher holy hierarchy that they don't qualify to sin. All have sinned. Doesn't matter what kind of upbringing. Doesn't matter what kind of background. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And that's a part of the warning. You're on your way to hell. But then I'm sure that Paul was very quick to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He was burdened to share the marvelous. You don't have to go there. The danger of hell, I want to caution you. I want to warn you. You can save yourself by turning and heeding the gospel and accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And he gives, I'm sure, as he wept day and night to everyone, that was a part of the message that he shared. And obviously, what is spoken in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 was a part of that, because he declared unto them, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, some people say, well, I'm not ready yet. If I'm a true watchman, if I'm warning them, I have to be able to understand, you're never going to be ready. Because you're always going to be a sinner. God commended the love towards us in that yet while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to the cross. Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood, gave his life, that we might have life and have life forever. It's a status that can't be earned. You can't work for it. Boy, some religions are so very profound in that working. Not according to this. It's in that Christ, because we were sinners, went to that cross and gave his life and shed his blood that we might be able to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus as our Savior. But I know that that's not just all. I know he continued on as he was burdened and sharing this message with everyone day and night with tears. I know he must have brought in the idea written in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou confessest with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believest in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confessing with the mouth, believing in the heart. That's what God does as he ministers through the working of the Holy Spirit, convicting one and bringing that one to salvation in Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. That's a part of the warning. That's a part of the message of the watchman that Paul is talking about. And the New Testament church and New Testament believers need to be very much involved in that in our day and age. In fact, even more so than ever before, ought we be a part of that. That is a necessity. And then I think that message that Paul gave as he was very much responding and receiving and then getting into the actual exercise, why there was this message in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now, I love that, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not walking after the flesh, but walking after the Spirit. There's no condemnation for we who have been born again and are desirous of living and following and yielding ourselves and surrendering ourselves to our blessed Savior and all that he has done for us as watchmen. My dear people, doesn't matter how young or how old you are, doesn't matter on which side of the town you live, you are watchmen. Ezekiel was a watchman that God called. God has called each of us. And Paul testifies to that fact in the New Testament. Each of us are now watchmen. We have a responsibility to respond. We have the receiving of the Holy Spirit that equips us, and now we need to be about the work. And so it becomes a necessity for us to be a part of the duty of being a watchman. And so I come to this. Your spiritual relationship with our God. Are your hands bloody? You know, some of the hands, there's nothing that can get them clean because some hands may never have been washed under the blood. And there is a need in the soul to reach out and trust in Christ as personal Savior, listening to the caution of the watchman that Paul weepingly shared. Some may still be sinners, lost without Christ. There's no way the hands can get clean. There is a need of trusting in Christ as Savior. But to many that raised their hands earlier and testified to the fact that they are born again, there is a need to look at our hands and say, is there some blood stained on my hands? Have there been souls that I should have warned? Some that are wicked, walking in a wicked way, and I did not warn them? I did not share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did not take the time to testify of what Christ has done in my life and what he can do in their life. And there is a stain that not even lava, nothing but Christ himself can remove, because I have failed to be a watchman. I have forgotten to warn. And it is a necessity as a part of the life pulse beat of the New Testament Church of Maranatha Baptist that we recognize our responsibility, every one of us, to be watchmen, warning and weeping as we share the gospel. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these principles that are so wonderfully given to us. And Lord, as we have this idea of a responsibility and responding to it, and the receiving that is so plain in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and then there is the requiring of which Paul so testifies, I pray in our lives there may well be that moving and that convicting. Lord, if there be one here that has never reached out and has never heeded the warning and is without Christ as their Savior, I pray today you might work in their life, that they might be convicted of their sin. For the Scriptures declare all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Father, help them that they might recognize as a sinner their need of being saved from hell, because the wages of sin is death, and a death destined to hell. Father, I pray your work in any soul that is without Christ here in this auditorium. And I pray, Father, for those that may be here that know Christ, and they have been looking at their hands spiritually, sensing that there has been a lack, a failure of being the watchman, of being effectively used to warn, to share the marvelous news that Jesus saves. And I pray, Father, your help for us to be very honest with ourselves as the Holy Spirit ministers in this closing, that if we have been so, that you will help us to quickly rectify that by confessing and seeking your forgiveness and your marvelous refreshing of the focus on being a watchman that is warning as we weepingly go forth. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, are you here and the Spirit has spoken to your heart and you are one of those that has heard about Jesus but has never trusted in him as your personal Savior, and you would say today, Brother Connor, would you pray for me? I need to trust in Christ as my Savior. I have no point of reference in my life where I can say I have actually asked Christ to come into my life and to save me. If I were to die right now, there's no reassurance. I would most doubtedly go to hell. And by God's help, I desire to reach out and trust in Jesus as my Savior. Would you lift your hand? We might pray for you today. Many of you, if not most of you, have testified to the fact that you know Christ as your Savior, but you have been given that opportunity to look at your hands in a spiritual sense. You may have sensed that there has been a neglect. There has indeed been a shunning of your responsibility, your duty, and there are some souls that you could have witnessed to, you could have shared the gospel, and you failed to do so. The blood is on your hands. And you would say with uplifted hand, Brother Connor, would you pray for me? I know there are some that I should have spoken up and shared the gospel to, and I did not. And I need God's forgiveness. I need God's grace and help that I might continue to be a real witness, watching, warning, weepingly so for souls for Christ. Would you raise your hand, Brother Connor? Pray for me. I haven't been that watchman. God bless you. God bless you, yes. God bless you. Others that would say, honestly, pray for me as well. I have not been that watchman that I need to be. Raise that hand and we'll include you in this prayer. God bless you, yes. God bless you. Father, we are coming before your throne totally honest and yielded and surrendered, realizing the lack. And there has been those that have testified that the Spirit has been dealing. The Spirit has been convicting. And they have sensed and realized that there have been times in which they should have spoken and stood up for Christ, and they were not the watchmen that they needed to be. Lord, as each of them seeks your forgiveness, I pray, Father, that you might minister to their hearts and allow them with fresh focus to realize what God does require of each of us as born-again saints and as members of Maranatha Baptist, to be the watchmen that are warning and weeping as Paul did so without ceasing day and night. Bless now, we pray, every heart in this precious church. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it all. Amen.